You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milliford, episode number 60. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Beyond the High Road.
Hello, you guys. It is Thanksgiving week here in the United States. I'm recording this on Tuesday. Thanksgiving is on Thursday. This week, we are going to be talking about finding gratitude in the moments where you feel like you just can't. Anybody can find gratitude when things are going great. When things are going great, the sky is blue, the trees are green, the birds are chirping, you know how it goes. But when we're in the valleys, so to speak, people like what I was just describing, we don't like so much. They're annoying, right? When we're in those valleys, experiencing the effects of alienation, it can seem entirely unrealistic to think or believe that you will one day be not in the valley and instead up on the top of the mountain, hearing the birds chirp and seeing rainbows. And, you know, there is such a disconnect between the dark place that you may be in now and being on top of a mountain, right? Or even halfway up the mountain. If you maybe feel a little cynical, angry, maybe a lot cynical. And the idea of somebody suggesting to you that you need to be grateful or that there's always something amazing to find and to learn, even within the tragedy. If that annoys the crap out of you right now, I understand. I've been there before, for sure. There were definite pockets of time throughout my healing journey and before I even began doing the work on my own self, where I was just downright fucking pissed. And it didn't seem possible for me to consider how I could ever find gratitude, how I could ever find joy, meaning, a way to evolve through this, right? My daughter was gone from my home and my life, as far as I was concerned. And I was in an exceptional amount of resistance with not only the situation of alienation and what was going on with my daughter, but I was resisting pretty much everything in my life. I feel like I did an episode back in episode 20-something when I was talking about this very thing, about just fighting everything in my life that caused me to sort of implode. I cracked under that pressure and caused myself more pressure, more displeasure, discomfort, everything, right? It was an awful place to be, but I just want to tell you that, you know, just to start things off, if you're in that place and you are like, how could I possibly be grateful for what's going on? My kiddo is not in my life anymore. I have not spoken to them or seen them. I'm not allowed to speak. However it is for you right now, maybe you have supervised visits and they happen to be on Zoom. You're maybe wrestling with the fact that last year or the year before, whenever it was that they were with you, you celebrated Thanksgiving with them and this was not an issue. Of course it wasn't. These are your kids and it should be that way. You should be able to actively parent them and be a part of their lives, share memories, make memories together. And so when it's not that, and all of a sudden now you're resorting to a 30-minute Zoom call that they may or may not show up for, it's off-putting. I get it 100%. So please just know that. When I'm sharing with you my thoughts, my experience, the drastic difference between then when I was there, and sometimes still can be if I'm going to be like real. There are times when those old thoughts and beliefs are like fragments of them will come up for me as well. So I'm, you know, I get you, I feel you, and I would just offer that, pardon, I'm dog sitting. There's like a large dog in the house. I would just offer that if that is you today, then just take what you like, leave the rest sort of thing. And just know too that any little bit will help you. I think the times when gratitude is the most needed is the times when we don't want it, right? When we don't, it doesn't come easy. That's where the growth happens. That's when it matters. So if you can find any little ounce of gratitude today, this week, or whenever you need it, I'm telling you, this is everything. Like, grab on and hold on to these little moments, these little glimpses of the good stuff, okay? There was a time when if you were to walk up to me on the street, or if you would have been the one that was hosting a podcast and you suggested that I find reasons to be grateful about my life, about my situation of alienation, about my job that I didn't have at the time, about anything, I would have, depending on when it was, I might have punched you in the face, but probably would have had a few choice words for you. And it probably would have secretly ruined my day, right? The fact that you even mentioned the word gratitude in my direction. So just know that by no means am I implying that that is what you need to do. You do what feels good for you. I know for me now that resisting gratitude doesn't feel good. So I choose to try to find things to be grateful for, even sometimes if it takes more effort than others. In fact, especially when it takes more effort. Because usually what I find, I think this is across the board, in those times when it seems like life couldn't possibly get any worse, these are especially the times that we can find meaning by finding things to be grateful for. I want to almost argue with myself as I'm saying that, right? Because it takes me back to a time when, before the alienation ever even began, and in fact, before I even met my daughter's father, when something else was going on in my life, and that's just going to be way off topic, so I won't go there, but where a gratitude list was offered to me. Somebody suggested that I do a gratitude list and that things would get better from there. And it felt so off-putting and contrived. To me, doing a gratitude list when I didn't mean it or I didn't want to do it, it just seemed to be like going through the motions of finding, now mind you, I was very young, I felt like I was just writing shit down. I'm grateful for having electricity. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful that I have my health. I was very ungrateful at that moment in that period of time. But also too, it felt so contrived, like I was just finding the givens that everybody should be grateful for. And it didn't feel real to me. Going through the motions, coming up with some contrived gratitude list, I think that caused me to only become more cynical and more ungrateful. It felt so disingenuous. It didn't work. In fact, it sort of backfired in my face. And so what I'm offering you today, I want to be the opposite of that. I don't suggest that you just find silver linings and then try to sell it to yourself that that's what you're grateful for. Do you know what I'm saying? There is a way to do this and be real with yourself, because your brain, it's not stupid. When you try to sell it some BS, like recycled, reused, generic thing to be grateful for, it's going to be on to you. It's only just going to create more resistance within yourself. That's basically what I'm saying. Your brain will surely know that you're trying to bullshit it if you just start writing down what you think you should on some gratitude list. It's kind of like giving a card on Valentine's Day when you really don't mean it, but you know that you should, sort of thing. I feel the same thing for Thanksgiving, but that's me. So if for you, if you think writing a list will help you, by all means, please do that. Going through alienation and some of the depths that I think we do when we are dealing with a dynamic such as this, I think it's empowering and also in a way comforting, caretaking for my own self when I really get down to business with what it is that I think that I shouldn't be grateful for, right? Like, I'm thinking back to before I started this work, I lived with a sarcastic nature about me. I can't imagine my resting bitch face. It was probably awful. But what that was really covering up was this sense of hopelessness. And if I were to be coaching my past self, like today, if I was sitting in front of that version of me, I think I would ask me what I think had gone wrong. Like, what am I resisting? What are you resisting? Because when we're have a hard time finding gratitude, finding a benefit to the situation, it's always because we're in resistance. I can't think of a time that it's not. Until we step off of that resistance train, we are going to continue to have a hard time and it's going to feel very taxing. So I would ask myself what I was resisting. Like for you, I'm posing that question to you. If you're there and finding it hard to be grateful for anything, what are you resisting? What has gone wrong? What is the story you're telling yourself that is causing you to be in this resistance? Like what? Why? Because I think it's so much more beneficial, so much more of a relief to just acknowledge the pink elephant in the room. This writing a gratitude list down without paying attention to the toddler running with scissors in your brain is just putting a Band-Aid on something that needs a massive amount of stitches. So when we instead say, what's gone wrong, honey? Just asking yourself, like, what do I think should be happening right now? And chances are, you know that answer like the back of your hand. This shouldn't be happening because blah, blah, blah. Last year, it was this way and that was better. And that's how it should be because I'm a parent and I should be able to parent my child and blah, blah, blah. So acknowledge what the story is. You have a story that is causing you to resist your current circumstances. Just know that I'm not suggesting that you lie down for and succumb to whatever the person who's alienating your child from you, whatever their storyline is or whatever they want, okay? But when it comes to your own inner peace, productivity, and mind management, staying in resistance to what already is only going to cause you suffering and your brain to be clouded. And then you find yourself distracted at work and then not making as much money. And it has like this ripple effect in your all the other areas of your life. You know what I'm talking about, I'm sure, right? The last thing that I ever wanted to do, now it's not a thought to me, but I especially back then, was give the person who's alienating my child from me any more power than they already thought that they had. Today, I don't give any power over to him, to them. But there was a time when he literally ruled my entire life. So, and I would like you, if you're not there yet, here, I want you to be. So the resistance you have is very important to recognize. What do I think needs to be happening right now that isn't happening? You want to look at your life as it is. Yes, I understand that I think that things should be different. They're different in so-and-so's life and so-and-so's life, and I'm a good parent and they should be happening in my life and they're not. And that makes me mad. That makes me sad. That makes me whatever, whatever, whatever. Okay? Own that. Just own it for me. My daughter doesn't live with me. I don't see her for Thanksgiving. I won't see her for probably a few weeks after Thanksgiving. I'm not even sure. That's not scheduled yet. When I do, it will be a 30-minute Zoom call that she may or may not show up to, okay? I manage my expectations around that because that is where I am. Now, for you, you may be going to court soon. You're going to have a different situation than me. But for me, I know what to expect coming up. And I'm not going to argue with that because there's no reason for it. Once I identify I don't have to do this anymore because I've already trained my brain to know what to expect. And then I now find the benefits of my life and the things that add to my life on by default. But a couple few years ago, I did not. I could not. I hadn't trained my brain. And so I had to spell it out for myself. Okay, what are my expectations? Are my expectations realistic? And am I expecting someone else? Is my happiness relying on the actions of somebody else? And if that is the case, then I find a way to supply that for my own self so that I'm not waiting on somebody else to do the thing so that I can become happy. So that is one way to already upgrade your story and take control of the situation. And once you realize where your choices are, it's much easier to find where the benefits are in your life, where they could be in your life. Maybe you aren't grateful right now for what currently is, but you're grateful for the ability and the vision to create it in the future, to begin creating it today. So looking at the possibilities, like what is possible for you, what could be possible for you. This is always a great place to start if right now you feel like your life is a mess. Okay, well, I think that I could probably upgrade this. I can upgrade the story in my mind about what currently is, but even more so, I can create a new future for myself. And I don't mean to say create a new future without your kid. I just mean to offer that you can be a parent who's experiencing alienation and I'm going to create a new life for myself while holding space for my child to return when they're ready. So yeah, you can find gratitude in your vision for your future, whatever that entails. I think one of the biggest gratitude stealers, joy stealers, creativity stealers is getting caught up in what we think life should be like, right? When we think that life should have gone that way, our child should have been here all along and they should be here today. I should be able to spend Thanksgiving with them. When we are in that shoulda, coulda, woulda, we shut ourselves down from seeing anything different. There is no possibility in life should have been this way. There's zero. It is a very comfortable space for our brains to be because that means that we can stay inactive. I haven't said this in a while, but our brain likes to do three things. One, seek pleasure. Two, avoid pain. And three, be efficient. That's the motivational triad. Two and three are at play here. So when you are thinking life should have been this way, life should have been that way, notice what happens there when you do that. It feels kind of good in a backward sort of way because then you don't have to do anything more. It's the human brain's way of protecting us. And then we can kind of back ourselves right into a corner and cozy up, covers over our head, peeking out with one eye as we binge watch Netflix for 2 months until January 1st. It's a familiar, very unproductive place to be and is the opposite of gratitude. Shoulda, coulda, woulda is a dream stealer. And so when you notice that you are, understandably so, fighting with the reality and wanting to tell yourself how things should be, just remind yourself that you're cutting yourself off. This is something that you can control. It's an opportunity to step into your power. You might not like the next thing I say, but that is, instead of it should be different, find even small ways, true things that are true for you that you believe that are not just contrived. Find ways that it's exactly how it should be today, okay? Find tiny little benefits, tiny little reasons why the circumstances today are exactly how they should be. Now, I know that this is one that it hurts me because I know that it probably hurts you when I suggest that. And I suggest that a lot throughout the episodes. But I truly don't think that there's a downside to considering how our current circumstances, unchangeable, they're already here. They are exactly how they're supposed to be because the alternative is that you stay in that resistance with what already is. And that's just insanity, actually, because it's already here. People always think that it's a common mistake. I used to think this too, that by considering how something could be a benefit, that we're somehow giving permission to the abuser, the person who's alienating your child from you. And that's not it. And I know I've said this before, but this is worth saying a million times over, okay? Is that it's not about giving permission. It's not about them. It's about you and about finding peace within you. Without an internal environment of peace, harmony, synergy, you're not going to show up and perform at your best. So things exactly as they are, how are they working for you? How could they work for you? They may not be working for you right now. you may not be able to see that. You may be in so much resistance with them that they can't possibly be working for you until you allow them to. So you're either in resistance or you're allowing, like I was suggesting earlier. So find little ways to like just crack open the doors to allow instead of resist. Another thing is that I think what happens when we get so familiar with the people that we do have in our lives and the blessings, whether they're people or maybe it's a job or maybe it's the home that you live in. Truly, at one point, you were so grateful for these things. You felt so lucky that you found them. You truly believe that deep down today, but sometimes now you take it for granted. The more familiar something gets, the longer that it's been around in your life, the more expendable it seems. The more it seems like part of, you know, your reality. So it doesn't, in your mind, you're not thinking this on the forefront, but probably in your subconscious or somewhere, it doesn't seem worthy of gratitude. Of course it's there. It's always been there. Of course it's going to be there, right? That's just part of my life. It's just a fact, but it's not. The only thing that is forever a part of your life, at least while you're here on this earth, is the body that you're in. That is it. That is all you are guaranteed, and not even that. So anything extra that is not your physical body, your thoughts, your emotions, anything outside of that, there's no guarantee that it's to stay in your life forever. And I think this right here is enough reminder to us all. Like, that could go at any time. Like, the things that I've lost in my life with my daughter, I had taken my momhood for granted. I was like, there's no way in what world would any judge ever take a child away from a loving and present mom. It didn't dawn on me that I wouldn't continue actively momming my kid. No, it wasn't really even a consideration in my mind. I was kicking myself afterwards for years with this, for not appreciating the times that I did have with her while I had them. Like the normal everyday momming stuff that sometimes I just like went through the motions in doing, washing her hair in the bath or running it back inside to get her book bag when she left it on the counter, right? Little things that I was like, I have to go in and get that. Things that are in our lives that we are so grateful for and we love so much, when they become part of our everyday, we take them for granted without even realizing. So I could bet you, I'm having crazy deja vu right now, you guys, but I would bet you there are so many things in your life, existing things that you might take for granted that maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, whenever they entered into your life, you were so grateful for them. It might be time for you to renew your gratitude. That's an easy win, I think. Look around you, the walls around you. If you have a home, imagine when that home first came into your life and how excited you were. It's a partner. Think of how lucky you felt like you were that they chose you. Whatever it is, whatever you loved, see that thing or that person with the eyes that you did when that first came into your life. Because a lot of times what we end up doing is when they've been in our lives for a while, we end up looking at them not only like they're expendable, but then we'll also sometimes feel overwhelmed by them, inconvenienced by them. We take them for granted to the point where with my daughter and like the school bag thing, that was an inconvenience at the time. Then months later, I would have given anything. That would have been my highest honor to go grab her school bag from inside and drive her 30 minutes away to school. Would have been amazing. I would have given everything I had, my house. I did give my house, but for that, just that 30 minute span of time, it's amazing what a shift in perspective can do. Same thing with, if I'm talking about the more recent with Nita, I'm sure I complained to you guys months ago. Oh, Nita, she was a lot to handle and blah, blah, blah. I bitched. She was inconvenient. She always needed to be a consideration in the plans that I made. If I had to go out of town, all those things. It only took her passing away to realize what I had. And that I didn't show her as much as I really wanted to show her how much I appreciated her. And so Yeah. That is a valuable lesson that I wished I would have learned before she passed. But I think it's an amazing reminder for those little furballs that are in my life today. And in fact, it's caused me to find gratitude in all of my relationships as of recent. I was just talking with my mom about that the other day, that you just don't know what you have sometimes until this some crazy reminder either takes it away or sheds a different new light on it. Okay. So there's always something to be grateful for. And it always, if you're not, starts in your mind with an upgrade in your own story about your situation. Okay. So just know, like I said, that I definitely don't want to suggest or offer that you write some contrived list or tell yourself you're grateful for things you aren't. I think it's so much more beneficial to look into the current story you have. Like, what am I telling myself that's wrong? What am I telling myself isn't right or that should, could be different than it currently is? And then once you have compassion for that story, like yourself, the situation, and you're like honest with yourself about it. Oh, it's because I've been telling myself that life shouldn't be this way, that I should have more than I do at this point in my life. I'm telling myself that I have nothing to be grateful for because I've created shit. You know, I had somebody tell me that earlier this week, that they haven't created anything in their life like they thought they would. They thought life was going to be much different at this time point in their life, you know, 10 years ago. Life hasn't gone how they planned. And let's just be real. I don't know anybody that their life panned out anything like they imagined. Nobody. And in fact, the people that I know that are the most emotionally intelligent, right, that have evolved themselves the most mentally and emotionally, spiritually, whatever you want to say, even professionally, all of the things, they have gone through the biggest tragedies. That's who I want to model my life after. Those people, the ones who went through it. That is something to be grateful for me, in my mind. I am in a way, and I will never say that I'm grateful that my daughter's not in my life, like on, you know, that I'm not actively parenting. Never. I will never, ever, ever. I can't say never, but I don't see that happening right now. But I will say that I am grateful that I have turned this tragedy into what I have, right? Without this tragedy, and I've said this before to you guys, without this specific tragedy, nothing else would have spoken to me and caused me to, brings me to tears to think about this, but like nothing would have lit a fire under my ass like this did, because this was the one thing in my life that I, you know, that I love and I care about, you know, is my daughter. Sorry. But truly, you know, I have never cried so much. Well, that's a lie. But like I cry so much when I'm talking to you guys. It's crazy. But yeah, nothing in my life would have caused me to make the changes that I have, like the tragedy with my daughter. And so for that reason, I have my daughter to be grateful for, because I am so much different than who I was, you know, years ago. I mean, one thing will always remain is that I loved my daughter and I was present for her. I was, you know, I really loved being with her, you know, but I'm a much more evolved person than I was back then. So anyway, I am grateful for that reason. And without that, I don't know where I would be, you know? So yeah. I think that it has worked for me in so many ways. Do I think that her father and stepmother are absolutely wrong and have been abusive? And I won't say all the things that I think, because I also don't think it's smart for me to say it to the general public, but you know what I'm saying. Do I disagree with and think things should have been handled entirely differently? And still to this day, do I disagree with their practices? Yes, I completely disagree, right? But I also know that actively resisting for me is not the answer. That doesn't mean, like, let's say for you, you could actually adopt that and still want to go back to core, but it doesn't have to be a battle. I was just talking about this last week with two different clients. Like, you could go, this is off topic, but I think it's always relevant, is that you don't have to frame it that you're fighting for your child. You can frame it instead that you're advocating for your child. You're advocating for your relationship, y'all's relationship. You are showing up in the most loving way for all of the people involved. It doesn't have to be a fight. It doesn't have to be win-lose, okay? It's about how you frame it in your mind. I think custody battle, I dislike the term more and more every day. There's a better way to structure that in our brains about what's happening. So yeah, you can absolutely move away from or allow resistance to fall away, be present in the moment, and advocate for your child in court at the same time. Okay? So the resistance altogether in our minds, the energy that that creates is never nearly as productive as the allowing energy and the energy when you're coming from a place of love for all people involved. So yeah, you can absolutely drop away, let resistance drop away from you, and still effectively, that is key, advocate for your child. Okay? And I think that that absolutely is relevant to what we're talking about and always will be relevant to what we're talking about in any conversation that we're having. You don't have to put off healing so that you can go to court and prepare to fight, prepare for battle. It could all be one. And it doesn't have to be stress response after stress response. In fact, I'm going to argue that it is way more effective to go in when you're coming from a place of love. So you can heal yourself and have much more energy to work for your relationship with your child, even in court, even on the stand. All right, then. Listen, y'all folks in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful one. Even if you are getting a rotisserie chicken from the grocery store and making your own Thanksgiving. I've been there. Like four Thanksgivings in a row, three or four Thanksgivings in a row. It's just me. And I made turkey sandwiches and all. So it can be done, and it can be done without traveling down the river of misery. Okay. Yeah. And also, remember, if you're interested in the holiday support group, please don't forget to follow the link that's going to be below in the show notes in order to tell me what day of the week. We're getting close now, so I need to know sooner than later so I can start it first week of December, okay? So if you're at all interested, please just drop me a line and let me know so I can plan for how many people I'm going to be supporting. We are going to be supporting together, but you know what I'm saying, scheduling and all the logistics. Okay. And those of you who are not in the States, then you just have a good week and I'll see you next week. Okay. All right then. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership where we take the concepts that you hear about here and using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations. Upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.